This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, VFN family. Today, we're going to be talking from 2 Kings chapter 23, 24, and 25. You can turn to 23, and we're going to be continue on the conversation about Josiah that we began during the VFN family gathering. So let's just open up in prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you said in the unction of your spirit, as Paul is writing to the church of Romans, that everything that is written in the Old Testament is written to encourage us and teach us your ways, the way you think, the way things happen, the way they what we can expect next when this happens and that happens, Lord God. And we just pray right now, Father God, you would just open our eyes to your heart and let us know, Father God, where we are in this season, Father God, and how to respond, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I started talking about King Josiah in verse 23. I remember during the VFN family gathering, I think it's called King Josiah. Maybe you can find that in the VFN library. But understand this, that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. I mean, imagine, 8 years old when you become king. Your father, his father was an evil king. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so he was raised up in a very evil household. Now, also now he has power 8 years old. And he has not heard anything about God's ways. None of them. And so you can imagine how evil things were before God, even when he took authority and he became a king of Israel. And from the time he was 8 years old to, I believe, around age 26 years old, he still did not have the word of God, and it was kind of kept from him for whatever reason. And it wasn't until he's 26 did he send somebody to the temple, as I was talking about, and the priests just happened to find, you know, the commands of God and say, look at what I found. You know, and of course, once he heard the word of God, he responded. But I first want to say this. You have to understand, all of Josiah's life had to be evil based on what we're understanding. And he didn't even know God's ways. And he had an evil father. And the kingdom was so evil, we're going to see the kingdom is going to be put into bondage and just thrust from God's presence. Just very evil community, very evil society. And Josiah finds the word of God, and he immediately, he didn't know it exists. He didn't know that this is what God expected. He didn't know that God. He didn't know that God's anger was burning against Israel and Judea. He didn't understand it was burning. It wasn't until he read the word of God did he understand God's anger was burning against his own people, which means this. God's anger could be burning against the church right now, but not know it because the church is out of God's word. It wasn't until Josiah got into the word of God that he find out, oh, this God's very upset with us. And so what happens quite often is people just begin to deviate from God's ways and start talking about their ideas, their philosophies, men's traditions. We've always done it this way. And that we totally can leave God's commands. And so we just start telling ourselves, God's happy with me. Everything's great. He doesn't mind all the sin that I'm in. You know, it's not a big deal. And the whole time, God could be angry with us. His anger could be burning against us. And sometimes we get things, and so we say, hey, because God gave me something, he's not angry with me. But we know about Israel. When Israel asked for things that God didn't want them to have, he gave it to them. And for example, they wanted some quail. They weren't satisfied with the manna that he was giving them. And so they wanted some quail. So he had brought so much quail in there that just huge provision. Instead of managing that provision, they just shoved it in their mouth. They had so much quail, birds, that it was coming out their nose. They ate so much of it. You know, it sounds like America, right? It's like just can't, everything's just more, 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 more. But this is what God said, though. While the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. And so we have to understand, you know, God, based on what we're understanding with all the innocent blood that's being shed that we talked about, you know, the 2009 statistics, you know, state, or 2006 statistics stated that 3,700 abortions are happening a year in America. And that puts it down to right at 72 or so per state per day. Think about it. Notice there's 1.2 million abortions a year in America, 3,700 per state, and it boils down to per day, 3,700 per day, which brings it down to about 72 abortions or sacrificed to Moloch, the shedding of innocent blood, per state per day. Or you could say every 3 hours in every state of America, there's a sacrifice to Moloch. That's enough sacrifices and abortions of shedding of innocent blood that 3 children in every state are killed every hour. So you say 50 states, 3, it's 150 an hour sacrificed. This is not good. This is not good for a Christian nation that is founded, and as we found out during the gathering, that this is Judeo-Christian values, that we were founded because men and women wanted a place to be able to worship God and to worship freely, and God blessed us. And now we're just like Israel, you know, God's people, where we are just doing the very same thing. And so God's anger, no matter what people tell you, based on what God would have to be a liar. I think it was Billy Graham's wife said that if God doesn't deal with America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's because we do it in a prettier way, and we have more money when we're doing it, and it's just, you know, we do it in air conditioning or whatever. Just, it's the same stuff. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so his anger is burning again. While we're seeing things happen right now in America, we're seeing happen in the world, we can rest assured that God is not happy with the church in America for what's taking place, no matter what they tell you. Read the Word of God, and you can be just like Josiah to understand God's ways, because when Josiah understood what God wanted, remember we talked about he began personally dealing with himself, and he moved his way out to dealing with the people and what he was in charge of because he's king. But you know, think about how evil his life was up to the time he was 26 years old, I believe it was. And so he takes his robe and he rips his robe. He's just so broken over the condition of himself and his nation against God's people. We talk about the nation of Israel, and in conjunction with God's word. And once he ripped his robes, and we would say once we ripped our heart and we were broken over the condition, that God did not remember any of those evil days in Josiah's life. It's beautiful. Think about it. I mean, he had to be... You know, total darkness. There was Moloch offerings, Asherah and Baal idols were up in the temple. I mean, male prostitution was in the temple. I mean, it was just pure debauchery in the whole place that was God's people, and he was king over it. But once he was 26 years old and he found what God said, he ripped his robes, and from that point on, you know, God just let go of everything that ever happened. What does that mean? Once we find out what's right and we do it, then God will forgive us if we repent of everything that happened in our life to that particular point. Because this is what he said about Josiah. He said about Josiah that there was never a king greater before or after Josiah. Think about it, never. But by the time he was 26, you know, he was a very evil king. He had to be doing all the other stuff that his fathers were doing that was present in the kingdom. But once he knew what was right, he did what was right. This is where America is. America, we know what is right. The question is, are we going to do what's right? Are we going to do what's right? And so what happens? He rips his clothes. He repents. He brings the whole nation to a place, as we talked about, and you can hear more about that in the first teaching about that. But then God says to Josiah, because of all the innocent bloodshed, I'm not going to turn my anger away from my people. I'm not going to turn my anger away from my people, but I'm going to spare you because you did what's right. So I will take you to be with me before I bring this upon my people. So there's a transition of God's people moving from a place of just, we can do whatever we want to, God's not upset with us, to all of a sudden, a king finds God's word, prophesies to the whole nation. Everybody understands what's right. They could choose to do what's right. And they did just for the time of Josiah's reign. But the second Josiah stopped reigning, when he died and went to go be with God, immediately they went right back into evil again. And so there was a transitional thing going on. So Josiah's first son was put in charge of the kingdom. He was placed as king, and his name was Jehoaz, and he ruled for 3 months, 90 days. That's how long his reign was. And immediately he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He tried to make a covenant with Egypt. But after that, Egypt comes in and arrests and puts into chains Joaz's son. He lasted for 90 days, and immediately the king of Egypt comes in and puts him in chains and takes him off so he could not rule Jerusalem. He separated him from the place that he was supposed to be responsible for. I mean, look today. How many fathers are separated from their families? I mean, how many people that are supposed to be over what they're over are not even there anymore? They're literally kept away from what's going on. I mean, think about that. And so then the world or Egypt decides who's going to be the next king over God's people. Now, they used the person that was supposed to be in succession of one of Josiah's sons. And Josiah's son's name was Eliakim, but they named him themselves. The world or Egypt named Josiah's son. They changed his name. And they changed his name to Jehoiakim. And it's Jehoiakim means set man by God. Established by God, set man by God. This is very important to understand because the church does not understand today that nobody pulls one over on God. The church does not understand that God will use people who don't know him to accomplish what he needs done to discipline his people. Now, he'll come back later on and he'll do business with the one who touched his people, but he will use them to discipline his people. And that's what was going on. Once Josiah died, then his one son reigned for 90 days, but immediately Egypt or the world came in and kept him away from it, and they put the other son in place, and they knew they could name him, and they named him, you know, Jehoiakim, which is a set man by God, and Jehoiakim was going to transition. You see the gradual feathering of the world and the church is just getting darker. And people say, this can't be God because it's getting darker. Really? Really? You know what? We wouldn't do by choice. Now God's going to do by force. Really? Think about it. This is God, right? God is allowing this to happen. He told Josiah this would happen. And so then you got, Jehoiakim is established in authority because Egypt established him. We talked about, you know, that our president, he's like a Jehoiakim that, you know, God revealed to Brother John Ramos, you know, in New Jersey that our president, President Barack Obama, is a set man. And he's basically doing the same things Jehoiakim did to be able to humble God's people. The interesting thing is Jehoiakim and President Barack Obama both appear to have gotten their orders in Egypt. They're both to be some sort of mixing of powers. And that's what they did. What they did was Josiah's sons mixed their military and their forces and their power together. And now we're seeing things that we talked about, and you can find out more about that in the first teaching. So, I mean, to come against Jehoiakim is to come against what God has set up, right? We should not be attacking people. We should be praying for those who are in authority over us, understanding God is allowing this for a season. We just got to get our hearts right with God. We're either going to go down to our knees in prayer or we're going to go down to our knees in servitude. That's the choice. We're either going to go down to our knees willingly in prayer or we're going to go down to our knees in servitude under bondage and under great oppression. And so you got Jehoiakim as God's set man. And what did he do? He actually was going to pay the tribute that Egypt wanted. Egypt wanted 100 talents of gold, 100 talents of silver. And he immediately went into God's people and began to tax them. What you're going to begin to see is a great unnatural burden passed on the church that it hasn't seen before. You're going to begin to say, well, you can't do that. You know, you're going to hear people say that a lot. And it's going to like, but what did you do with the freedom that you had? You know, what did you do when you weren't under Jehoiakim? What did you do when that wasn't going on? And Israel would have to say, well, we used it to just live in, you know, debauchery and sin and shed innocent blood and all this kind of stuff is what they would say. What are we going to say about that? And so This is a transitional, it totally looks like a transitional Jehoiakim going on. And Jehoiakim is only for a season. Jehoiakim is only for a season because Jehoiakim is going to be arrested himself by the very place that he partnered with. In other words, they're going to take him out. They're going to take the very ones that set him in power are going to take him out to serve their purposes. Why? Because they're transitioning God's people under Babylon, under the Babylonian system. That's the transition that God's going to let his people be under servitude for a time until we understand that we had a freedom, that we squandered our freedom, and now that we're still his people, but we would be under servitude. Now understand this, at any time in here, and the only thing I don't know about that God would have to reveal to you is if there's 150 children sacrificed an hour of innocent blood being poured out on the land in America, I don't know, because God said this. He said, because of that, Josiah, I am not going to turn my anger away. This thing is going to happen. And eventually what he did was, the word of God says that he thrust. As a matter of fact, look at 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 20. And he says right here, he says, it was because of the Lord's anger that all of this happened to Jerusalem and Judea. And in the end, he thrust them from his presence. He didn't just turn his head. He just thrusted them from his presence. Like, get out of my face. And there's another gospel being preached that God's not a holy God. And there's so much darkness that you don't even know if you're walking around in dangerous gray areas. You constantly got to be abiding with God and say, God, help me stay pure. Help me stay clean. Help me to keep my thoughts right and my attitudes right and my actions right. Because it's so prevalent, you know. And so in that, eventually, the set man who transitioned Israel under the Egyptian rule began to tax God's people. He taxed their land, and he began to thoroughly assess all the property that God's people had, and he began to tax God's people. Now, they didn't owe any taxes prior to that, did they? I mean, they didn't owe anything to Egypt. So, but now all of a sudden, what wasn't taxed prior to their rebellion and refusal to repent and the shedding of innocent blood, now they're actually paying a tax. And the tax was not so something could be done. The tax was for oppression purposes. It was like, oh, these taxes are so heavy on me. And it's like, that's what it's for. It's to cause us to feel the burden and the weight of carrying a burden, oppression. Now, at any time, we can say, God, I've sinned, and cry out for justice and ask God to have mercy on us and to bring mercy over judgment during this time. But it's going to be a huge repentance, because I meant there's going to be a huge battle in the land for the people who don't want God now, because there's been so many false gods brought into America, and so much of God's words and commands have been pulled down. And to reestablish it, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be some sort of spiritual war, maybe even physical. Well, I don't know, but we'll see what happens. But so here they are. You got Jehoiakim is taxing God's people because he's paying tribute to Egypt, who put him in power. Isn't it interesting that our president's first international speech was at Cairo University, and it was the Muslim Brotherhood who was banned from Egypt that he invited to that of speech, that he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood and painted a picture how they could be in power, and even said, quote, it's my job as the President of the United States to attack or to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam anywhere that it is. That's not the job of the president. It could be the job of somebody who's a Muslim and they want to go around and help people out to get a better viewpoint of Islam, but that's not the job of the President of the United States. The job of the President of the United States is for him to be able to defend the constitutions from enemies of it, foreign and domestic, to be able to protect our borders. That's what he's supposed to do. But if you notice, the opposite's taking place, that he's wanting to undo the Constitution, to defend the cause of Islam, and Islam believes, and the Muslim Brotherhood believes, that a caliphate, that the rule of the Quran is the key. You can tune in to VFN Radio and catch more about this. We're going to be talking about this, but understand that they believe that the Quran, their book written by Muhammad, is the way that that life should be operated: business, family, marriage, and all that. And their ultimate goals of caliphate were that is the rule of law. And so he is befriended to a caliphate brotherhood by Egypt. And so what does that mean? It looks like Jehoiakim. It looks like Jehoiakim is exactly what Jehoiakim did. But see, this is the results. After a while, because you can't partner with the devil and last, that Jehoiakim was eventually taken down. The very ones that put him in power took him out. They took him out. They pulled him away and they killed him. That's what happened to Jehoiakim. That's what I'm talking about, Jehoiakim here. And so then they put Jehoiakim's uncle, put his uncle as king. Now look at what's the world doing picking the leaders over God's people. Think about it. That's what happens, right? The world begins to pick. Sometimes they call those boards or committees. But his uncle's name was Mattaniah. But guess what? They renamed him too. Now his name actually meant, before it was changed, was gift or hope of the Lord. It's a gift. He's a gift or hope of the Lord. And so they changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah means the Lord is just. Think about it. The Lord is just. And so Zedekiah is going to be the transitional set man now to be able to take God's people right into Babylon. You first had to buy into Egypt before you bought into Babylon. Egypt's about to go away because Nebuchadnezzar and his troops are about to come in and they're going to take all of God's people. But there is a purgatory, if you will. There is a place between Babylon and God's people, and it seems to be transition point is Egypt. Egypt is where it takes place, and that's where it's all taking place today. And with that, so you got Zedekiah. He is the king of Israel, of God's people, and his name now has been changed to Zedekiah, which means the Lord is just. What does that mean? Remember everything he told Josiah? He said all the shedding of the innocent blood and all the sin and all that. What's he doing? He's balancing the books. That's what justice means. Justice means putting things back in the order again. And no one cries for justice. So what happens? He puts Zedekiah, an evil king, to bring justice to God's people, to bring justice to the children and all the innocent blood that was shed. He's not, nothing goes undealt with. Now, the way we deal with it, no one cries for justice. You've got to get that, you know, from the VFN TV library or VFNTV.com. You've got to get it because understand we will not cry for justice if we don't understand justice was served on the cross of Christ by God. And so all of this justice we're seeing driven down on God's people here in the Old Testament, God did the very same thing under the New Covenant, but he did it upon Jesus. But if you are not going to the cross, if you're still staying in your sin, you're going to feel the full brunt of this very same thing coming against you. And the churches, a lot of the churches left God's ways. They left God's ways. And we're very religious. I mean, we spend, what, $1.3 million per baptism. Come on, I mean, that's got to be religious, right? But think about that. And so here's Zedekiah. He's king over Egypt. But what happens is now the city of Jerusalem, they come down and Babylon, now they got this partnership with Egypt. Babylon now comes around and surrounds Jerusalem. And now God's people are surrounded by Babylon. And they take siege of them. They literally cut off all food and water and they're stuck in the walls. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, in Israel, you'll see the big walls that go around the city. And so imagine Israel's on the inside of those walls and the Babylonian soldiers are on the outside of the walls. And they couldn't go anywhere. And so finally, after three years, you know, going through that time, understand this is oppression happening because of all the sin and all the shedding of innocent blood and what God told Josiah, this was coming. And these guys are set men. These guys are transitional men. I mean, we should not be attacking the messenger. We should be talking to the God who sent the messenger and saying, God, what have we done to deserve this? What? Let's make it right, God. Let us and run to the cross and begin to cry out for mercy, you know, and begin to, once we do that, we'll begin to cry out for justice after we deal with our sin, you know, at the cross of Christ. And so So for 3 years, the armies of Babylon seized Jerusalem. And this is all process. I mean, what am I sensing in my spirit for America right now? We're being surrounded. I feel it to the core of my spirit. We're being surrounded. You know, plugs are being punched in the ship called America. So many things are being done to assure that a siege could be taken of the pressure comes upon America. And what happens after 3 years, all of a sudden Zedekiah and his army takes off in a hurry out of a small gate that they thought that Babylon didn't know about, the Babylonians didn't know about, and they capture him and his sons. And they go and they capture all the strength. And Nebuchadnezzar comes down, the leader of Babylon comes down and begins to take Zedekiah and his sons, and he takes his sons and he kills his sons in front of him. One at a time, he killed Zedekiah's sons. And then after Zedekiah saw his sons die, then they gouged out his eyes. And the last thing he ever saw in his life was his sons slaughtered in front of him. Who arranged this? What did God tell Josiah? Do you think we can go on like this and nothing's going to happen? Do you think we can shake our fist in the face of God and we're different? Every generation that falls for this believes that they're different than past generations. But see, the thing is God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. It's not a shadow of turning in him. He's the same God. He's the same just God. But the difference that we have Jesus that we can truly run to him, not as a, you can't hide behind the cross, but you can fall at it and begin to cry out and repent of the sin and say, God, I need you. Lord, stop this great tragedy. I've sinned. I've shed innocent blood that I've sinned against you in so many different ways and against others. God, forgive me. And there's a chance the Lord will have mercy. He'll have mercy on you as the individual, but there's a chance if we do this as a church in America that God would have mercy on this nation and may let us keep it if we do what's right before him, but maybe not. So at that point, once they gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah that they put in power, don't think for a moment when you see somebody selling out to the enemy, you think, I can't believe they sold out to the enemy and they're the ones that got him in that office. It's all going to pan out in the end. It's all going to pan out in the end. Just watch it. Watch it. Yeah, they put Zedekiah there, remember? They put Jehoiakim there. God put Josiah there. Big difference. Different outcomes. And so with that, remember Zedekiah's name, Zedekiah means God is just. And so when we understand he's just, he's going to balance his books. He's going to deal with the innocent blood. He's going to deal with the murder. He's going to deal with the sexual sins. He's going to deal with the greed and the idolatry. He's going to deal with all the philosophies and traditions that have held God's people captive. He's going to deal with all this. Or we can deal with it ourselves by choosing to go to the cross of Christ. And when we get up from our face, crying out to God for forgiveness and mercy and asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins, then we leave our life of sin the way Josiah left his life of sin. Then he began to make changes in his life that were different. He didn't do the things he did before. It's called repentance. Repentance is not a sad person. Repentance is a person who's not doing what they used to do anymore. That's repentance, which you can do by the power of God when you have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ and understand the power of the cross of Christ, which you can get that also in the VFN library. So here they are. This whole thing from the time of Josiah, when Josiah found the word, God began a transition of his people to the point where he was working them through a process where he was gradually, they were the ones buying in with their evilness because they wouldn't have bought into power with Egypt. They wouldn't have said, let's go hang out with Egypt. Let's empower the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's bring in somebody who's opposite of our U.S. Constitution and allow them to come in and put a caliphate over our country. I mean, they wouldn't do that unless your heart is evil and God's giving you over to that evilness. And so now all of a sudden, here we are. America's going through transition right in front of our faces. And we're in this political season, and it's almost sickening to see the same arguments, the same greed, the same thought patterns of why when openly people are wanting to be able to go against the ways of God. It's like one, you know, no matter what, God does not ride an elephant. He doesn't ride a donkey. God's on his side. We just need to be on God's side no matter what happens to the nation, no matter what happens to your community or your state or your, you know, your precinct or whatever. Listen, you got to just be on God's side. Josiah was on God's side, and God spared Josiah. What does that mean? Well, Josiah died earlier than normal because God was going to take him on to be with him before all this transition happened. What does it look like? This is what it looks like. It looks like God is transitioning America under Babylon, under Babylonian rule, a worldly, all the things that come with the world, rule. And right now, you know, God's people are sleeping. They're just sleeping. They don't understand that the Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is going to pull all their strength, all their carpenters, all their artisans, all is going to just suck any substance out of America. And the only thing that'll be left in America is the poor people to be able to kind of keep the land kind of going a little bit, to just take it down to nothing and bring them into captivity. What have we done? What have we done with this nation? What have we done? And we're not broken about it? And we're not disturbed about it? We're not saying, hey, something needs to change? We're not crying out saying, stop! But we obviously see that we've left the ways of God. It's not as complicated as religious Pharisees have made it out to be. It's not as traditional as traditional men's mindsets. It's not all these philosophies of men. But yet there's holy traditions of God that we're supposed to be the church. And God's church will prevail. The gates of hell will not come against it will not succeed against the church. But I'm telling you, we may lose our country if we don't wake up. And when the Constitution goes, our freedom to do what we're doing now, the freedom to openly speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it goes. And it'll have to be done covertly. Right now, as we're speaking, there's three or four ladies that have been locked up by President Putin in Russia because they violated the new rule on talking about religion and expressing themselves. In Russia, they say you can no longer assemble anymore. Well, that's a constitutional right that we have for us. In Germany, they're talking about you have rights that you can. You have rights for if you miss your train, and the government has to be responsible for you missing your train. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know what are we going to do? Is the government going to be our God, or is God going to be our God? I mean, it boils down to that, right? What are we going to do? Are we going to trust God? When we trust God, we just do what he says. We're not trying to figure everything out. We just trust him. We just trust him. God looks like he's transitioning the American church under a time of oppression. Remember, Jehoiakim began to tax God's people with an unusual tax that was non-existent prior to that. It's time to wake up. It's time to say, you know what? All this game playing and all this religious mindsets and everything I was doing. You know what? Think about it. What if God stops this? He stopped with Jonah and Nazareth. Nineveh. You think about it. He stopped it. Why? Because they began to pray and fast and cried out to God, and they said, you know, we want to do what's right. And what happens when you rip your clothes and rip your heart and you want to do what's right? He forgets everything that happened prior to that. That's what I ask you right now. Are you ready to rip your heart? Are you ready to say it's over? Are you ready to say this life of sin is over? Are you ready to call sin, sin? Are you ready to stop looking at all the things now that are prevalent in our culture? Are you ready to make a covenant with your eyes, a covenant with your heart, a covenant with God? Are you ready to say no to sin? Are you ready as kings like Josiah? Because in America, you can choose who your leaders are going to be. At least one choice, one vote. You can do that. Will you make a godly vote this time? Will you pray, seek God, know who they are, and before God's eyes, before we lose this country, that you will vote the way that God leads you to vote, whatever that is. We need to pray for those in authority over us. We need to pray protection over them. And we need to say, church, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. It's time to wake up. We're going to either go to our knees willingly, or we're going to be forced to our knees under oppression. And we can't complain about what we allowed happen. We just have to live it out. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just pray right now for those that are hearing this word, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Touch our hearts, God. Lord, that once and for all, God, we would realize that your word is simple, is right to the point, and you are right. Let every man be a liar. Follow you and you only, God. Lord, I pray for this message right now in those that are hearing and seeing it, Father God, that you would just touch their heart now, God, and stir them not to walk away unchanged, but to say, today is the day, now is the time, I will be a Josiah, and I will do what's right. Father God, justice, God, we cry out for justice. In the name of Jesus. If that's you, if you've made this decision right now, I want you to go to vfnfamily.org. I want you also to go, if you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org and just walk through a simple process of really getting to know him and let us know about your decision. Now is the time. Today is the day. God has a plan for your life.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.